I was doubted in high school, doubted some in college, and I know it's still going to be some who doubt me in the NBA. Going into the league, I'm trying to make a name for myself.
Memphis Grizzlies rookie Ja Morant has electrified the NBA. But while expectations for him were high before the season, few people thought he and his team would be this good this quickly. Today, how a skinny kid from South Carolina became the odds-on favorite to win Rookie of the Year, and why he's put the league on notice in more ways than one. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Wednesday, February 5th. This is ESPN Daily. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Tim McMahon is an NBA writer for ESPN. He's been reporting on the unexpected success of the Memphis Grizzlies. So, Tim, we were planning to spend most of today talking about how incredible and brave Ja Morant is on the court, but he has proven to be pretty fearless off the court as well, or at least on Twitter. Can you walk us through this NBA beef he's gotten himself into and how it involves Andre Iguodala?
The business of basketball has Andre Iguodala on the Grizzlies roster, but not on the Grizzlies team, if that makes sense. The plan all along has been to take this player that they got a first-round pick for absorbing salary and flip him for more assets. All fine and dandy, but the Grizzlies in the locker room apparently feel a little bit disrespected by one Mr. Iguodala. Perhaps his recent appearance on our network talking about which teams he'd rather be playing for had something to do with that. I don't know. Anyway, so they're being asked about this in the locker room last night, and Dylan Brooks, the Grizzlies starting shooting guard, basically says,
"Guy that's on our team doesn't want to be on our team. You know, I can't wait till we find a way to trade him so we can play him. And I could just be to show him what really Memphis is about."
To which Ja Morant retweets with an emoji. I believe that's a shouting emoji, a say it louder sort of emoji. And next thing you know, there's stuff just flying around. Steph Curry gets involved. I think, didn't Steph step in with a hush emoji with a picture of Iguodala with the finals MVP trophy, I think?
That's correct.
Okay. And so Ja's reply is a picture of KD with a finals MVP trophy shrugging. And it's just flying back and forth. How many emoji beefs have we had?
Too many.
In this league? But this is definitely one of the better ones, one of the more entertaining ones. And I guess people were flooding Ja's mentions this morning, talking about how he used to, you know, gush about Steph on Twitter, and I guess implying that he was a hypocrite. And Ja's like, fine, here you go. Here's all the receipts. Here's all the glowing tweets I've had about Steph. And basically said he's still a fan, but he's not scared of anybody, although his grammar was a little bit more slanged up than that.
So what does all of this tell you about the Grizzlies and perhaps Ja Morant's role on this team?
Well, the fact that it is something that is being, you know, discussed so much kind of speaks to the Grizzlies' surprising relevancy, first and foremost. And, you know, it's one thing for Dylan Brooks to say it, right? But when Ja Morant, the Rookie of the Year frontrunner, I mean, they are proud of being this, you know, young, scrappy team that's not going to back down from anybody.
Tim, going into the season, most people, myself included, did not think the Grizzlies would be competitive, certainly not a league pass team. Now, you know, they're the eighth seed in the West. When did you realize this season, watching Ja in Memphis, that he was going to be a special player?
The first glimpse of this that we saw was third game of the season. The Nets are up 8 points when Morant checks back in the game with about 3.5 minutes remaining, and he just took the game over.
Morant on a blow by to the cup, scoops it in. Oh baby, what a play! Morant against Harris, right with the right hand, and there is the rookie announcing his presence with authority.
I mean, he's just slicing through the Brooklyn defense. It's a 10-2 run to tie it up. He's got 8 points during that run. I mean, just a beautiful lefty layup to tie it up with 7 seconds left.
Morant, 10 seconds. Ja, down the lane, off the glass and in with 7 seconds remaining.
And then everybody in the building knows what's coming next. 7 seconds left.
Brooklyn ball. Kyrie Irving, one of the game's best closers, is going to have the ball in his hands. He's going to take the shot. Make or miss, he's going to get that shot up. Well, John Morant couldn't wait for that moment. He was ready for it. He'd studied for it.
Irving against Morant.
Kyrie makes his move, gives a pump fake. Ja does not go for the pump fake, stays on the ground.
Irving, blocked by Morant! We're going to overtime!
You don't see Kyrie get that shot blocked. That does not happen. Sends it into overtime, you know, and the Grizzlies win the game in OT when he hits Jay Crowder for a three at the buzzer.
Ja!
And so you saw that kind of rare combination of talent, swagger. He was prepared. He was confident. He couldn't wait to be in that sort of competitive situation against one of the best point guards in the league.
One of the best players on the planet against a rookie, and a rookie meets the moment.
It does feel a little bit like, you know, he came out of nowhere. You dug deep into his backstory, spent time with him and his family. What was his upbringing like?
He's a country kid. You know, he's a country kid from Dalzell, South Carolina. And, you know, it, like his dad, T, told me, if you stopped by the house, you really wanted to come see him because they were out there.
Since I put a ball in my hand, like, right, I'm dribbling the ball through the house. My dad even had to get a little basketball goal to put on the living room door.
That concrete court in the backyard, the tractor tires around the court, you know, that's where John Morant developed. His dad would put him through drills every day. You know, ball handling drills, shooting drills, all the basketball stuff. Then have him go jump on the tractor tires. That's how this kid developed his hops, developed all the skills. He played on an AAU team with Zion, but he was not a guy who was being chased by big-time programs. He was not on anybody's McDonald's All-America list. He wasn't on any of these top 100 lists.
Nobody recognized me at all. I was just worried about the colleges and other people thinking, like, am I good enough?
Well, how did Murray State end up finding him?
Yeah, he's playing in this AAU event.
I got added to the camp late. It was like, if I don't call your name, then go to the other gym. My name wasn't called, so I went to the back gym.
And the Murray State assistant coach, a guy named James Kane, he just happens to kind of poke his head in that gym. The story is he was going to grab a bag of chips.
I ordered some Doritos and soda. I was able to hear the balls bouncing in the auxiliary gym.
Ended up peeking his head in the gym and was watching for a couple minutes. I guess that's when he seen me.
Just a few minutes of watching Ja, you just knew he was special.
He sees this kid who's, you know, ridiculously fast and, you know, just jumping over everybody and dominating the game.
I called my boss right away and said, you got to come up here and see this kid.
And sure enough, the head coach comes, checks him out, and, you know, they offer him a scholarship. And, you know, even when some other programs, you know, like a South Carolina came in late offering a scholarship, Murray State was the one that was on him first. You know, he saw some potential there. He felt like it was a fit. So that's the program that he stuck with.
So Ja goes to Murray State, and there's this buzz around him during his sophomore season. The crazy dunk he had against Alabama blows up the internet. He's making Sports Center.
Ja Morant. Look at that tomahawk throwdown on not one, but two defenders.
But he really blows up, Tim, in March Madness. Murray State comes into the tournament as a 12 seed, and they upset Marquette.
What a moment in March for Ja Morant, his Racer teammates.
He gets a triple-double in the process. He's trending on Twitter.
Yeah, and really what he did was he justified and kind of magnified the hype that he had created going into that tournament. It's one thing for, you know, the hype to be about, hey, this kid could be a high lottery pick. And then I think it's another thing for fans being like, man, did you see that play this kid made, or, you know, this pass or that dunk? I think that really kind of added to the buzz that was created about him.
Then that buzz took him all the way to the NBA draft.
With the second pick in the 2019 NBA draft, the Memphis Grizzlies select Ja Morant from Murray State University.
You always said that your dad gave up his basketball dreams to help you accomplish yours. So tell your dad what this means.
It means a lot for both of us. We both know what I've been through. I don't want to get a little emotional up here, man, but I just want to thank him for everything he done for me. He made me who I am today, and I'm just thankful for it all.
Great job, man. Great job.
Thanks for your time, John.
Coming up, how Ja Morant is fearless and why that makes him scary good. The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Tim, Ja Morant goes to the Grizzlies and his NBA career begins, which also draws into sharp relief how small he is, because he's no longer around college kids. How do his physical stats measure up on the court?
Well, he's 6'3", which is normal size for point guard, but they list him at 175 pounds, which is awfully skinny. Again, I don't know what he was carrying in his pockets when he was weighed, but his backup, Tyus Jones, tells me that he's about a 160-something soaking wet.
I tend to believe that. You know, you just compare him to other point guards, and the ones who always come up in conversation are Russell Westbrook and a young Derrick Rose, just because there's not a whole lot of point guards who have that kind of athleticism. Those guys are built like strong safeties. You know, those guys are 205, 210, muscular. Ja Morant is built like a, you know, like a little slot receiver. And I really think that in terms of body comparison, you know, you look at a guy like Allen Iverson, just ridiculously fast and explosive, but I mean, he's skinny. There's no other way to describe it. He's a skinny kid. But then, I mean, he's just so fast, so athletic, but at 20 years old, also so in control. And I think that's the most remarkable thing. A lot of times it looks like he's showboating, but he's setting things up. You know, you think about that play where he's out on the fast break against the Rockets, and he goes behind his back at the free throw line. Well, that's to allow the guys, his teammates, to run the floor. And then he jumps up and dishes it back to Jaren Jackson.
It's Morant against House. Behind the back he goes. Jackson is down. He hammers it home.
I almost lost my seat. Everything he did in that play, it looks sweet. It made for a great highlight, but he's making those moves to create timing and to create space for his teammates. And your first thought is, wow, this guy jumps so high that he gets up in the air and has time to make decisions. But, you know, when you talk to him, you realize, no, he sees the play unfold before it happens, and he's jumping to buy time for the play to develop in a lot of cases. For a 20-year-old, the athleticism is rare, but then to combine that with the basketball intelligence, I think, is what really makes him unique.
It's interesting to me that you use the word control and sort of talk about the intentionality, because when you watch him as a spectator, he looks almost wild, right? I mean, some of these plays he makes, especially when he's in the air, can be a little bit terrifying.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, the big concern about him is what happens when he comes down.
And, you know, he had a fall in Indiana where he lands on a cameraman.
And John's down on the baseline, and it's out of bounds to the Grizzlies, and Morant remains down. And you'll see right there, he lands against the knee of a cameraman right between the shoulder blades.
And that caused him to miss a handful of games. But he attacks. I mean, you know, he sees Aaron Baines on him in isolation, and his thought is, I'm going to go dunk it on this guy's head.
Morant with a running start. Oh, it dunks! Oh, my goodness!
When we spoke, I actually asked him about that play.
It's just my mindset to just go finish a play. If I feel like I'm at my launch pad where I can go up and dunk, I'm going to do it. And that moment, I got to step on him and was able to get to where I wanted it. Just went and finished the play.
Where does that fearlessness come from? Because you weigh about a buck 62. That's a big dude.
I mean, I've just been playing on concrete all my life, so I have a lot of scars all over my body from it. So,
no, Aaron Baines outweighs him by 85, 90, 95 pounds. Obviously, he's about, what, 8, 9 inches taller, but he sees those opportunities as a chance to attack.
Tim, in your story, you mentioned that as soon as Ja was drafted, he knew he wanted his entire family to move with him to Memphis. Why was that?
I mean, this kid, when you talk to him, you don't have to ask about his family. He brings up his mom and dad. You know, he always says, my dad always told me I was built for the moment. You know, I was trained to go. I mean, that's something his dad has drilled into his head since he was a little kid. You know, he's got beneath no one tattooed on his left arm. You know, that's a saying that his mom always drilled into his head. You know, he had it stitched underneath the collar on the suit that he wore for draft night. He's just a very family-oriented young man. He doesn't want to go to the clubs and all that after games. He goes home and watches film with mom and dad.
I watch film with them after a game. I go home.
With mom and dad?
Yeah, and they play the game, and we sit there and watch, and they ask me what I see in a certain play or what they've seen. I mean, they just help all around.
He wakes up in the morning. You know, they've got breakfast cooked for him. You know, they cook dinner at night. I mean, they carpool to home games. They load up. They've got one of those Mercedes-Benz Sprinter vans, and then they load the family up. That's just the way that they've always been.
I don't know whether I'm more delighted by the mental image of them watching film together or the image of them driving Ja to games in a minivan.
No. I will say this. Not a minivan. Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. I think there's two different price points there, I'm pretty sure.
Do they bring orange slices for the team at halftime?
You know, it's funny because his dad, T. Morant, he asked Jay Crowder, who at 29 is the old dude on the team. He asked Jay Crowder, hey, you know, I've taught him what I can. Take my son under your wing. He'll listen to you, you know, because he understands that, you know, part of developing in the NBA is relying on vets to, you know, share their wisdom, share their experience with you.
How does the style of the current roster and how they fit together and play together compare to the grit and grind era with Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, that Memphis was known for so long?
Absolute polar opposite, you know, and they obviously have turned the page from grit and grind. And grit and grind was awesome because it really did reflect the personality of that city so well, right? Those Grizzlies teams, they wanted to drag you down in the mud and wrestle. That was their style of play. Whereas, you know, these Grizzlies, they're fast and pretty. You know, they are pace and space. They've got a point guard who's the fastest guy on the floor probably every time he steps on the floor. Maybe Russell Westbrook might be able to beat him in a 94-foot race, but I'm going to put my money on John Morant.
Well, can he keep it up? I mean, you mentioned there's always this concern about when he comes down, right, from the air. Do you have any concerns about his durability, given his size and the fearlessness that with which he plays?
I think that is the one concern that you have about Ja in terms of, is this guy going to be a superstar in this league for a long, long time? The one little piece of advice that Ja hasn't really embraced or hasn't really taken to heart quite yet from Jay has been, dude, after games, you need to spend time in the trainer's room. You know, like, recovery is important. And, you know, Ja just wants to put on his Nike jumpsuit, talk to the media, you know, hop in the van and go home.
So Tim, Ja is currently the favorite for Rookie of the Year. Zion Williamson, you know, didn't play for most of the season, but he's back, and the Grizzlies and Pelicans faced off last week in New Orleans. Zion sort of got the better of him this time, scoring 24 points to Ja's 16. Do you think this could be the beginning of a great NBA rivalry?
You know, and it's funny because those guys are really good friends. You know, they played together on an AAU team in South Carolina. And, you know, they did the whole jersey swap thing after a game. I think both those guys very much do not want it to be about Zion versus Ja. And, you know, they're two South Carolina kids who both have a lot of talent, and they don't want to make it something where fans have to feel like you got to pick one or the other. But in terms of a rivalry, I mean, look, when you start thinking about what young cores have the most potential, then the Grizzlies and Pelicans are going to come up very early in that conversation. If those guys develop, if the young pieces around them develop, it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility that Grizzlies and Pelicans could be playing each other in the playoffs a lot over the next 10 or 12 years.
I did enjoy the picture of them swapping jerseys because it really looked like Zion was his father.
Zion is a large, large man. Ja is not.
Thanks so much, Tim.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, a sports writer who broke new ground and the glass ceiling. Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT, the most trusted name in security. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. ADT has HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, fire and carbon monoxide detectors, all connected to 24/7 monitoring and controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. So help protect your home today with ADT. Learn more at ADT.com/podcast. Here's another story I want you to know. Last week, you probably heard about a sports pioneer named Katie Sowers, the San Francisco 49ers assistant who became the first woman to ever coach in a Super Bowl. Well, yesterday, I read about another woman who broke ground in sports, one I had never heard of until I read a fascinating story in SB Nation by Natalie Weiner. Her name was Eleanor Kane Penna, and she was sort of a proto-blogger in the time of newspaper columns and black and white TV. She's also led the kind of life that deserves an extra long Wikipedia page, but I will try to give you the Cliff's Notes here. According to Weiner's article, Eleanor majored in math at Smith College before working in an aeronautical engineering lab at Princeton, participating in flamenco guitar lessons in her free time. Her interest in sports and gambling stemmed from her family's involvement in horse racing. After moving to New York, Eleanor began hanging out at sports-centric institutions throughout the city, where Giants players would drop in after games. Bored of her day job, she started a weekly football newsletter called Lineback, which featured lines for the week's games that she got from a Vegas bookie and included details about teams from around the league that she got from local newspapers. Eleanor would publish 500 copies of Lineback, then deliver them to 5 or 6 restaurants around New York. Once the newsletter started gaining traction, her list of contacts and NFL insiders began to grow, and she started selling subscriptions to clients like then-NFL commissioner Pete Rozelle. Due to her popularity, Eleanor was hired to write NFL guides for female fans, which she infused with humor and tips for women to beat men at their own game. She was a star, but she was still denied press credentials for NFL games, and she faced her fair share of sexism throughout her career, including one notorious incident where she was denied access to the press box at Yale during a Giants-Jets game that prompted her to write about what it was like to be a female sports writer. Eleanor wrote a book called Pro Football Broadside, which was all about the state of the NFL from her own unique perspective. Her writing career ended when she got married in 1971, but she told Weiner that she still watches all of the games from her home in Long Island, and she also said, when asked about her legacy, trailblazing, that had nothing to do with it at all. I was having fun. So here's to a pioneer who wasn't trying to be a pioneer, and a life that I was personally quite happy to learn more about. I'm Enid Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.